Well, good evening and welcome this evening. This evening I would like to look at a very familiar passage to us all this evening. If you can turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. And just to start with, I'm just going to read Ephesians 6, and we're going to read from verses 10 through to verse 20. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. And it starts off like this: "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armour of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armour of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." Let's just pray and commit this time to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. We thank you, Lord, for this night. We thank you for bringing us all here. We thank you, Lord, for your word, and we thank you that it speaks to us every day. And we thank you, Lord, for this time where we can just spend these few moments and look at some truths from your word. We pray you would have something here for every one of us here this morning, this evening. We do pray. We pray, Lord, that you will just be with us and help us as we come to this time around your word, in Jesus' name. Amen. This evening, I'd just like to look this evening at the subject of the armour of God. It's probably a message or a subject that you've heard about probably quite a lot. As I was growing up in a Christian home and going to a Christian school, it was a passage that we had to memorize. We had to learn this passage off by heart from 10 mostly to verse 18. And if we get a little bit of background of the passage here, we're in Ephesians. So the Apostle Paul wrote the book of Ephesians while in prison in Rome. It's one of the prison epistles. Ephesus was the capital of Asia, and the year it was written was around about 60 AD to 64 AD. Now, Paul visited Ephesus on his second and his third missionary journeys. And if we looked at it, in Acts it says, "And he came to Ephesus and he left them there," talking about Aquila and Priscilla, "but he himself entered into a synagogue and reasoned with the Jews." And so we see that Paul brought Aquila and Priscilla to help the folk in the church at Ephesians, in the church of the Ephesians. If we look at the book, half of Ephesians is given to doctrine and the other half is given to Christian duty. Paul, here in these verses here, he likens the Christian life to a battlefield between the Christian and the devil, between the forces of evil and the devil, and the devil's temptations to do wrong. And so we're just going to have a look through these verses, and I just want to bring a few points out as we go through these verses this evening. The Apostle Paul here says in verse 10, he says, "Finally," so he's saying in closing, this is the last book of the epistle, And he's saying, in closing, I just want to bring a few points to your attention. And there he's talking to the people at the church at Ephesus. He says, my brethren, those people were close to him. A lot of them he'd won to the Lord, and he's talking to the church here. He says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Now, the first thing he wants them to see is that we can't live the Christian life in our own strength. We can't live it in our own strength. We need to live it through the power of his might, through God's power. And then, as we move along, he says, put on the whole armour of God. He tells us that there is an armour that the Christian can use to be successful in the Christian life. He says here, put on. So there's an action there, something that it's got to be applied. Put on the whole armour of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The wiles there simply means the methods or the attacks of the devil. He says here to put this on, something we've got to do. You know, if we looked over further on in verse 13, he says, take unto you the whole armour of God. He says that it's an armour that's got to be put on in completion, in its entirety. Something that doesn't happen automatically. The whole of it. We must use all of it to be effective. And like I said, he says it again in verse 13. He says, wherefore take unto you the whole armour of God. We need to take it all. So, the first point we've got is that there's an armour that we need to use. There's an armour there to use. The reason comes there. It says it a few times. Look at verse 11. It says, put on the whole armour of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So the armour's there so that we can stand as Christians. He repeats it again in verse 13. He says, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. And then if we look again at verse 14, he says, stand therefore, and then he starts. So this armour is so that we can stand as a Christian. We can stand up for the Lord. We can preach the gospel. We can share with others the gospel. That is why the armour is there. And then he goes on in verse 12 to say, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now this evening I'm not going to concentrate on these different points, and it probably takes a greater preacher than me, and someone who is much wiser than me, to expound each part. But we know the devil tries to get Christians to fall, and this armour is actually what we need to fight against it. Now, one thing we notice here, we are not fighting each other. We are not fighting each other. The devil is the one who is trying to get us to do the wrong. And so, in the last part of verse 13, he says these words, and he says, and having done all to stand. As we come to look at the armour tonight, the question I'd like us all to answer, and this is the question I had to answer, was, have we done all to stand? Have we done everything in our power to stand for the Lord? So let's start to have a look at this armour. First of all, it says in verse 14, he says, stand therefore. So now that I've told you there's an armour that you need and that it's got to be put on, he says, therefore, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Loins girt about with truth. The word truth is mentioned many, many times in the Bible. This picture of the loins girt about with truth pictures the girdle. The military girdle would hold all the armour together. A couple of commentators said, this is why it's mentioned first. Without the truth, all our stand and fighting is in vain. And One thing we need to be known as people of truth, don't we? Notice it says here, having your loins girt about with truth. It's something that's got to be done. Our loins have to be held with truth in the picture here. Just as a belt or a girdle holds you together, the truth holds everything together. With families failing around us, the lack of truth a lot of times is what makes them not hold together. You know, if we looked at some other advice, Solomon, in his advice to his son, he said this. He said, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart." Solomon said here, truth needs to be bound about your neck. He says, write it on the table of your heart. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Simon stressed to his son the importance of truth. Truth. You know, King David, after he had fallen into sin, he admitted this in Psalm 51. He said, "Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom." You know, for the armour to be effective, it needs to be based on truth. Truth in the inward parts. Truth that we can ask God to search us and to know our hearts and to know our thoughts and to see if there be any wicked way in us. Parts of us that were between us and God himself. David also said here, he said, "Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day." Our prayer should be for God to lead us in his truth. Remember, we've got to do this armour in his might. God says in his word that we should ask to be led in his truth. You know, if we looked at another character, Joshua, in his final address to the Israelites, he said this in Joshua 24. He said, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth." Truth. Why is this part of the armour? Because without it, we can't stand. We can't stand. Sincerity and in truth. The second part of the armour there, it says, "And having on the breastplate of righteousness." The breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate in those days in the military protected the heart. Protected from a fatal blow to the heart. His righteousness in us protects the heart. The word righteous simply means the act of doing right, righteous or justly. And it says again here, having on the breastplate of righteousness. There's an action here. It's almost as if the Apostle Paul is painting a picture of a way of life for the Christian to live victorious. The armour is almost a picture of a way of life that can be lived. And how do we have this breastplate of righteousness? Well, you know, if we looked at some parts of the Bible, it says there is none good, no, not one. And that's right. None of us are righteous of ourselves. You know, in 1 Corinthians 5:21, it says this, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." We can be made righteous through him. Our heart can be made right or justified before God. In Matthew 5 and verse 6, it says this, it says, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Righteousness. Doing what's right. You know, the psalmist David said this in Psalm 23 in verse 3. He said this, he said, "He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. This is not something that's done in our own strength. This is something that the psalmist David said, he leadeth me. It's not something we can do of ourselves. But the part of the breastplate to protect the heart is righteousness. Why? Psalm 11 and verse 7 says this. It says, for the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright. Matthew 6:33 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Doing what's right. God loves righteousness. He loves us to do what's right. This is, I believe, why it's part of the armor. Because if we're not doing what's wrong, we're not going to be led away, and the devil is not going to take advantage of us. This, I believe, is why it's a part that protects the heart. And then moving on, it says, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. This has got a picture of the soldier with his feet being ready, shod. Ready, and it comes across the word shod to me. I think of a horse being shod. And I think of the preparation that goes into that. But this is not talking about that. It's talking about the soldier with his feet shod. Back in those days, they would have those shoes that would like armour, and they would actually, a lot of commentators said they would like do them up as they put them on. They would like strap them on. They were prepared. We need to be prepared with the gospel of peace. The word gospel here simply means the good news. And the word peace here means to join or to set at one again. The good news that can set at one again the sinner with the Saviour. It enables the sinner to make his or her peace with God. Prepared with the gospel of peace. 1 Peter 3:15 says this, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Ready always, ready. Feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Not only to know the gospel ourselves and to believe it, which is a critical part of the armor of God. You can't have the armor of God if you don't know the God of the armor. But this is a preparation that enables us to share this with others. Not only to know it, but and to believe it, but to share it with others. You know, Romans 1:16 says this, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. The gospel is the power of God. The power of God is in the gospel. We need to be ready to share it. Feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And then in the next verse he says, above all. Above all. So he's saying, listen up here. Above all this, taking the shield of faith. Taking the shield of faith. Above all, most importantly, taking the shield of faith. If we take the shield of faith, there will be no doubt. We believe God, what he says in his word. God has always been, he is now, and he will always be. Everlasting God. If we looked at the meaning of faith, there's no better explanation than in the great faith chapter in Hebrews 11. And it says this, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. If we had the time to go through the book of Hebrews and chapter 11, we would see great men and women just like everyone here. They were still human. They still struggled with sin. They were had various ailments, but they did great things for God. And they were recorded in this great faith chapter of Hebrews 11. Some of their names were Abraham and Noah and Enoch and Joseph, Moses and Rahab. Their faith was like a shield to them, even though it was thousands of years before this passage was written. Why? Because God doesn't change. He's still the same today as he has been in eternity past, and he will be for eternity future. God doesn't change. We believe that by faith. You know, in Hebrews in chapter 12, it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher, the beginning and the end of our faith. The shield of faith, the faith that says, I believe God, I believe he will, no matter what. If we read these stories, the faith that Noah had when it had never rained on the earth and God told him to build that ark, that took a lot of faith. It had never rained before and God said you're to build that ark, and all it says that him and his family were the only ones that believed. And all the other people around him mocked and laughed him to scorn for 120 years. That's faith. Faith that can stand up to that criticism. Faith that can stand. It was like a shield to him, wasn't it? It was like a shield to him. Taking the shield of faith, whereby you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Those fiery darts that have that seed of doubt in them. Those flames that say that what we believe in is all wrong. We need to have that shield of faith that believes in God no matter what, believes what he can do. God is the God of the impossible. And he's still the same God as what he was back there in that day with Noah. If you read the story of Noah, Noah was not a perfect man. Noah was not a perfect man. But he believed God, and God still used him. Like he can use anyone here. The other verse I had written down here was, for whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. The shield of faith. The next thing we see here on the armour, it says, and take the helmet of salvation. Like I've already said before, this was written to the church at Ephesus. Nevertheless, there would have still been people in the church who were not saved, who did not know the Lord as Saviour. He said this armour, in its whole and its entirety, will not work if that person doesn't know the Lord as Saviour. And take the helmet of salvation. Unless we've come to that point in our lives, we've come to trust the Lord as our Saviour, the armour will not work. Turn over with me, Romans chapter 10. Again, a very common passage. Some of you probably know it off by heart. Taking the helmet of salvation, I couldn't help but read these few verses in Romans 10. Explains salvation very clearly. In verse 9 it says this, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord is over all, is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Very clear, isn't it? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This salvation in the armour becomes the helmet of salvation. The helmet protects the head. Salvation protects from those blows that can be life-threatening. This helmet of salvation, it keeps us. Just as those who have trusted the Lord as Saviour are saved forever, so the helmet of salvation is also the protection for the head. In 1 Thessalonians 5, I'll just read this. It says this, "But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation." What hope is that? The hope of salvation. To all those that know the Lord as Saviour, that's that blessed hope. We see in Titus 2:13, it says, "Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Saviour, Jesus Christ." One day, that salvation will be revealed. One day, that salvation will be in for each and every one that's come to trust the Lord as Saviour will go to be with the Lord. And then, looking on, it says there, in the last part of verse 17, "And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. My parents used to say, as I was growing up and as I was probably a little bit wayward as I was growing up, my parents used to keep saying to me these words. They said, "This book will keep you from sin," or "Sin will keep you from this book." My mum used to often say, "Why aren't you reading your Bible?" "Oh, Mum, I'm just not reading at the moment." My mum used to say, "There's something there that's stopping you reading God's Word." She was right. Why can't you read the Bible? Why can't you spend time in God's Word? If there's something there, we need to sort out with the Lord. For me, as a young person, I wasn't right with the Lord. Every time I read this book, I felt guilty. That's what it does. You know, it says the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. When you read it, it points out things in our lives that should change. It points out things in our lives that shouldn't be there. It cuts into what we are thinking and what our heart is truly meditating on. This is why it's such an important to have that time where we read God's Word every morning and pray. It's an important part of the armour of God. It's an important part of our Christian life. And then in verse 18, the Apostle Paul, he says this, he says, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." Do you know that prayer is one thing that I think all of us probably need to work on? I know, especially me. I was challenged only a few weeks ago about being at the prayer meeting, and I was very convicted, and actually brought me to this verse: "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." I thought Pastor Mitchell was going to steal some of the message this morning. But it goes hand in hand, praying for each other, for all saints. Praying that the Lord will show us truths from His Word. Praying the Lord will lead us in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Praying always. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, "Pray without ceasing." We can even pray when we're driving to work in the car. You know, Jesus was a great example of prayer. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus was praying before the crucifixion. And don't have to turn there, I'll just read it in Matthew 26. It says, "And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." I think so many times we're like Peter. So many times we're like Peter. The temptation here is not to sin, it's to sleep. And if there's one thing that the devil is attempting to do today, he's getting the church to go to sleep. The devil is saying, "You're too tired to go to the prayer meeting tonight. Look, you've just got home from work. You should just have a rest." And the Lord's in the back of my heart saying, "You should go to the prayer meeting. You're too tired to read your Bible today. Maybe another day." So often, when I don't read God's word, it's not through not wanting to read it. It's because I'm going to sleep. Maybe you're here this evening and maybe the problem is not sin, it's sleep. That was Peter's problem in the garden. And we could excuse him, we could say, "Oh, he'd been up for 24 hours straight." We could excuse him saying he was tired. It was dark, the garden was dark, and he was over here and Jesus had gone off to pray. But the verse here says, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication, and watching with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." Not only praying for what we need and what we want, but praying for all saints. And it says there with perseverance, it takes perseverance, it takes dedication. We need to learn to pray. You know, as we look at this verse, a challenge for everyone, you know, I wonder if we can pray for 1 hour solid once during this week. Maybe you already pray for many, many hours. But Jesus said to Peter, he said, "Couldn't you watch and pray with me 1 hour?" A challenge to me when I read that verse was, I wonder how many times I am praying for that 1 hour solid. Maybe you say, "I haven't got time." There's always time. When we see how much time we look, we sit in front of the television, or we sit down and relax, or there's always time. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. I think all of us want to pray, but our flesh is weak. And as I thought about this part of the armor being prayer, it's not something you see as an actual part, but more it's all held together with prayer. You know, you've all heard that prayer changes things. Prayer does change things. Prayer moves the hand of the Almighty God. And so often we fail to pray. And to our shame, we put prayer to the last thing on the list. Everything else is consumed first before prayer. And then lastly, the Apostle Paul goes on here and he says, "And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." Do you know, the Apostle Paul has a very humble way of coming to this point. He says, "And for me." He says, "This part of it, I really need this." You've got to consider where he is, though. The Apostle Paul is in a Roman prison. He's in the Roman prison for preaching the gospel. And yet he says, "And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Why do we need this armour? For the spreading of the gospel. It's the whole reason we need it for. So that we can make known the mystery of the gospel to others. I wonder tonight, as we look at this point, and look at these various things that are part of the armour of God, I wonder, as the Apostle Paul asked them here, he says, and having done all, to stand. Can we say tonight before the Lord that we've done everything in our power to stand for the Lord? This is why we need it. This is why we have it here. Have we done all to stand? And there's many times where in my life the opportunity arises to stand for the Lord and to speak, and we aren't bold enough, are we? This is why we need to pray and to spend time in God's Word. May we follow the Apostle Paul's advice. Amen. We thank you, Lord, for your Word this evening. We thank you, Lord, for the encouragement from your Word, from the Apostle Paul, to, Lord, to put on this armour, to live it. Lord, to pray for one another, to share your Word with others. And we pray this evening that you'll just help each and every one of us. Lord, speak to each and every one of us as you've spoken to me. And Lord, we pray that you'll be with us as we go. And Lord, that you will help us most of all to read your Word, to pray and to spend time with you. Lord, we thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.